off. If you all please stand and remain standing, the flag salute will be led by Mr. Beck. Please bow with me. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for all that you brought us through, Father. So many things going on in this world, Father, in our community, Lord, but we know that it too shall pass, Father. We thank you for direction, guidance. We thank you for leadership in this community. We thank you for your direction, and we pray, Lord, that we would continue following the directions given by our leaders and all we need to do, Father, to somehow speed up this issue with the COVID virus. We thank you for this day. We pray for your presence and your direction and guidance in everything we say and do. In Jesus' name, we all say amen.
Amen. Please join the council in the salute to our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor DeYoung.
Here. Thank you. Approval for our agenda.
Mayor, there are no agenda additions or deletions. However, I do want to just state for the record that our council meeting is being live streamed right now. And like we did last time, our public can call in to 637-4200, extension 290. And for any period where we have a public comment, we will have to hold for at least 60 seconds so that the delay will allow somebody to call in.
Very good.
So other than that, we can have a vote for approval of the agenda.
Yeah, any additions or deletions?
No.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Very good. We have a presentation this evening. Police Department Chief Garza. Promotional recognition of Police Sergeant Hurrier. All right.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. It's always a pleasure to introduce not only new officers to this agency, but newly promoted officers within our agency. That really speaks a lot about the department, because so many times in a lot of agencies they have to go outside because the chief failed to either develop people within, or there just was no one qualified within the police department or within agencies to promote, especially to the position of a sergeant. Obviously a sergeant is a very important position within the organization, because these are the supervisors that are out in the field with our officers, ensuring that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are, in essence, you know, speaking and making decisions on my behalf or on behalf of the police department. So we have to have that trust with our supervisors, because they are very important, because they do have 3 to 4 other officers out there that have extreme power and responsibility in what they do. So we got to have very confident people to supervise. Sergeant Purrier, Max Purrier, Stephen Purrier. I don't know. I call him Stephen. Everyone calls him Max. So however you want to call him, Sergeant Purrier, has been with the police department for about 12 years. He went through a competitive process and successfully came out in the number one spot for the sergeant's position. Sergeant Purrier becomes our seventh sergeant that we have. We do have a total of 7 sergeants that work for the police department, 6 out in patrol, which is where he is at, out in patrol. And this is just an opportunity for me to introduce you to him, so you get to see his face, because unfortunately what ends up happening, newly promoted sergeants end up working weekend graveyards. And so he will never probably see the light of day, or no, I'm just kidding. But sometimes they get buried on those shifts because of seniority, et cetera. So it's just my honor, my pleasure to introduce to you Sergeant Stephen Purrier. Well, usually he'll go up and shake people's hands, but I think we'll dispense.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll dispense with that. And I think, yeah. So on, would you like to say anything, Sergeant Puryear?
I'm not much of a public speaker, but I'll say something small and quickly. First off, thank you guys, Mayor, City Council, for letting me come here and introduce myself in case you guys never met me or just saw me in passing. And I'll first off by saying I apologize for my hair. It's kind of impossible to get a haircut right now, and I don't really want to shave it because I don't have much already. So I look forward to the challenges of being a newly promoted sergeant. I'm honestly not too worried about the position because I feel like I was prepared for it through my time with the police department. 12 years, I worked under some really great sergeants, the commander, different chiefs. So to me, it's not too much of a hard transition because I feel like I was truly prepared. I look forward to bringing a different leadership style to the police department, one that really focuses on training and individual development, not only in formal setting, like as far as classrooms, but I really think that informal training is a great tool we can implement on, you know, at least a weekly basis on my shift. I come with a pretty good amount of experience. Obviously, I've been here for a while, held quite a few different specialty assignments, and it's something I look forward to continue to instill to my my officers.
Good. Thank you.
Sergeant,
if I could just
say something. You said you had a challenge with your hair.
Yeah, you're a barber, right? Yeah. But you got to stay 6 feet away from me
you talk about challenge. Wait till this virus is already through. You're going to challenge the barbers to correct what we missed.
Yeah. True, very true.
So there's a challenge there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Chief.
I don't know about that.
Chief, since you was having trouble with the name, you can just call him Maximum Steve.
Oh,
okay. Oh, wow.
It changes weekly my name.
Mr. Puryear, I just wanted to say congratulations. Thank you. And appreciate your service and commitment to our community. I, for one, know you and know that you're the man for the position. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Good
thank
luck.
You, Chief.
Thank
yes.
You will need it.
Very good. Thank you. We move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any questions or comments from the public?
Mayor, you've opened public comment, so the clock is running. I want to remind council and those listening via streaming service that we need to give about 60 seconds for the delay between our live presentation and the streaming. And so any interested parties that want to speak can call 559-637-4200, extension 290. So for those listening via live stream, we're just waiting the 60 seconds for the delay.
Very good. Thank you, callers, for calling or not calling. Is there any questions or comments from, that was for the public, council? Any questions? Very good, we move on. We move on to consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Is there any comments or questions from the public? Again, we wait. Or we go just to council?
You can go to council.
Council.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments from the council?
I'd like to pull item 9 and 10, please.
Motion to approve the remaining amount.
Second.
And so as that 60 seconds is running, I will restate the number, 559-637-4200, extension 290, if any members of the public have comments.
Very good. We move on to item 9. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Okay, item 9. Request approval of items pertaining to Measure B, transactions and use tax. Item A, adopt resolution number 2020-015 of the City Council of the City of Reedley authorizing the city manager to execute agreements with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration for implementation of local transaction and use tax. I'm going to read all the items and then turn it over to Paul. Item B, adopt resolution 2020-016 of the City Council of the City of Reedley authorizing the examination of transactions and use tax records. Item C, approve and authorize the city manager to execute amendment number 2 to professional services agreements with Mini Services, doing business as Avenue Mini Services, for ongoing sales tax auditing and reporting services. Mr. Malikian.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Thank you very much for reading all that. This is a action item before the council tonight to allow the city manager to sign some required agreements from the CDTFA, the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, formerly the Board of Equalization. These are required documents for them to administer the tax. As most of you all know, sales tax is remitted straight from the vendors to the state of California, and then they manage it for us and send us a check. They do charge for a small administration fee similar to our current sales tax. So that would be the same. And then also the resolution would allow the examination of our sales tax records. We do have a consultant that we've used since 1994, Muni Services, and they actually provide auditing and fiscal reporting services for our sales tax. They also take a look at vendors who may not be paying the correct amount of sales tax or maybe not paying it at all. So they do, assist us in auditing our sales tax. So these are all required documents for us to be able to move forward.
Very good. Do we have any questions from the council?
Now, is this charged one time or is it just yearly?
That's a great question, by the way. There is a one-time setup fee that they're going to charge, and that's to pay for their time as right. well as the time to inform all of the vendors who have a sales tax permit to sell within the city of Reedley. So they actually do quite a bit of outreach in the form of mailers. They do online work to where they're reaching out to as many vendors as possible to let them know about the new sales tax rate that would be effective July 1st. So it's to pay for that. And then ongoing to manage the remittances that are paid to them, there's an ongoing charge. So there's a one-time fee plus an ongoing charge. Yeah.
Reason I'm asking because we don't have a sunset clause on this. And I was just wondering if it was just a one-time or if it just goes on yearly.
Correct. So it's an ongoing, and it comes out of the gross proceeds. Okay. And that's similar to any public agency that receives sales tax from the state of California.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Paul, do they do that on a quarterly basis or a yearly basis?
They actually net that out on a monthly basis.
A monthly basis.
Yeah, the state always gets paid.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Do you know how much that setup fee is going to be for this election for us?
We actually don't know. By law, they cannot charge more than $175,000. I did ask that question because that fee is in their resolution, and I said, well, wait a minute here. Is that really how much you're going to charge? And knowing that would be a question, so we asked, and the fee has been as low as $3,900 for the city of Angels Camp to as high as $18,500 for the city of Sacramento. However, they had a one-time fee that went as high as $124,500 for Los Angeles County because they were coordinating amongst literally hundreds of different public entities.
Yeah.
So it's just about, so we expect it to be somewhere between $3,900 and $18,000, maybe in the $8,000 to $9,000 range. Mm-hmm. So really not a huge impact to our budget, but mm-hmm. we still have to plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the council?
Yeah.
Very good. Do we need a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there public comment?
Sorry?
Is there public comment?
Oh, okay. Any questions from the public? Let's go there first.
Okay. And since you've gotten the clock ticking for us, I'll remind the public once again, broken record, that they can call in 559-637-4200, extension 290. And we do need to wait 60 seconds for the delay between live council meeting and the streaming service. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, public. Is there any questions or comments from the council?
I second his motion.
Okay.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Mayor Pinion.
Yes. Item 10, adopt resolution number 2020-026 of the City Council of the City of Reedley adopting the citywide master fee schedule and amending departmental fees and charges for services. Admin.
Okay, thank you again, Mayor. This is the second of a two-step process to review and adopt new fees for the citywide master fee schedule. This is an annual process that has been done since at least the year 2012. The public hearing was duly noticed, and it was handled on March 24th at the regularly scheduled council meeting. And there were no changes from the council at that time, so it is brought back under consent item. But the attached master fee schedule and adopting resolution shows all of the proposed fee changes. As a reminder, some fees are going up and some are going down, and some fees are actually proposed to be removed as they're no longer necessary or they've been combined with other services that the city provides. These fees, if adopted tonight, would not go into effect until July 1st, 2020. And we would start informing the public and those who use the fees over the next coming months. So with that, I'd like to turn it over for any questions.
Yes. Okay, on page 5 of the report, the community center. I noticed there were a lot of changes in the California room, the fees. It looks like they took out the kitchen fee. Is that correct? And then they're adding that into the regular rental fee. And I had a question this morning with our city manager. They're taking out the 400 plus people fee and just leaving it with the 201 plus over 201 will be the highest fee charged. Is that correct?
You're at the on page 5?
Yeah. In the middle of the page?
Correct. So that fee is not used because we typically don't have events at that size in the California room. So it just wasn't a fee that was being used. So it's more of a cleanup item.
Okay.
I do apologize for the staff report not really addressing that change. We were focused on the kitchen fee so much because it's been a huge problem for staff to try to coordinate two different rentals.
Yeah, and I think that's a good idea, knowing how we use our facilities at our church. Usually if there's something in the social hall, there's something in the kitchen too.
Yeah.
So it should all go together.
Yeah.
Just one more comment. I think you should put on there that it includes the kitchen access. Or the kitchen, it includes that room or that service. If you're taking off kitchen stuff down here below,
okay,
I think would be appropriate.
We can definitely do that. And while we're speaking about this particular item in the master fee schedule, I want to say that Councilmember Salino did ask us for some information on a number of events held at the center and whether we've seen any changes. We are gathering that. It's been a little difficult with the virus stuff and people out of the office because we also want to give you a comparison of rates from other jurisdictions as well, but we have not forgotten your request and we are working on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Another item, page 9. Just a comment. The hangars at the airport, that the airport commission has reviewed this and approved that. Correct?
Yes. Okay. Sarah does that every year.
And on page 11, the mechanical permit fees, it looks like a bunch of them that are changing are like almost double. Is there a reason why they have to go up so much?
Thank you, Councilmember Fast. So our department every single year will go through each individual line item, and what we do very first and foremost is throughout the year we're taking feedback from the development community, from those that are coming in and pulling permits, and answering any questions or concerns, of course, that they may have associated with that. And then we're tracking the amount of time that the building inspector or the building permit technician, if they're able to do that, actually takes average for each one of these activities. And then what we do is we go in and make sure that we just have an appropriate cost recovery for that, always balanced by the sensitivity, of course, that no one likes permit fees. No one likes fees, period, well, except for Paul. But so we're obviously very, yeah, that's a good thing.
You can mark that off the record.
he's supposed to care about those items. That was a compliment. No, we're obviously very, very careful with that, but we want to make sure that we are having appropriate cost recovery for the staff member that is conducting that activity. And that also does spread out to some of the other activities that you'll see, where some of those fees are either being removed or sometimes even if they're lessened. Over time, if we're able to come up with a better process, something that's more efficient, many times there's template items that we're able to even create that then something that used to take 45 minutes now takes 30 minutes, maybe takes 15 minutes. So we're always looking for those ways to be able to find efficiency, but also need to be mindful of cost recovery.
Okay, well, while I have you here, yeah, I might as well go on to the next one because it's going to be you again, I think.
Okay.
Page 13, the grading plan review and permit fees. Those have not been in here before. And why are we adding them?
So when community development and engineering a couple years ago split and engineering became its own department, there were some fees that kind of went to one side or the other. And over time, it's been that's more of a building item. That's more of an engineering item. This was one of these right here where it was still present, just in a different fashion. So we're simply moving it back to where the actual work is taking place and trying to make sure that we're recovering that cost in the appropriate spot and in the appropriate place within the process.
But I will add in there that grading plans are usually submitted separately than other plans and can be reviewed. And in certain cases, like what you see in self-help, they got their grading plan approved and are moving forward with the grading before full building permits are issued. So it helps to have this separated out.
Okay, and then just a comment, probably just a general comment, on page 15, 16, and 17, I think, the accessory dwelling units, those fees are all decreasing, and that's due to the state mandates, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah, the state came in and said there was a maximum amount that we could charge for those permit activities, and so it does lower our fee, but is at the state maximum that is allowed to be charged there.
Okay, and then in the engineering fees, we increase those quite a bit also. And you're doing a subdivision and parcel map check. Is that right? And changing the way that fee is being done?
Correct. So a parcel map is 4 parcels or less, and then a subdivision is 5 or more. And so before it just said $600 plus cost or $1,000 plus cost. And after doing a few, now that we have a lot of subdivisions coming in and parcels maps and whatnot, we've been able to calculate. So instead of doing 600 and then all of us or 1,000 all of a sudden at the end, it's, you know, we're doubling or tripling the price for the developer having to pay it. I just wanted them to be upfront, and then so it's as close as possible. So if, you know, it's $100 more than as opposed to a big surprise.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Oh, and one more. On page 24. The residential service for the solid waste rates. I do remember that we did approve this last year, in 2018, and we set up a schedule to increase the 2.5% on July the 1st. And just to comment that I'm questioning the vehicle impact fees. Are we still going to be putting that in the budget for this next year to take out of the solid waste fund and still do the streets and the alleys out of this fund, or is that going to change?
So we are working on putting our budget together, actually, this week, next week, et cetera. We've been working on it for the last month or two, but we're putting it all together. Right now, we do have the VIF in there. It is by council majority that we have the VIF in there, and so council will be able to determine whether or not they want to continue with that or remove that. We have been using the VIF for alleys as well as to add to certain street projects where we feel that those streets have been overly damaged by garbage vehicles, which is the tie-in or the nexus for the vehicle impact fee. So council will have an opportunity in the budget process to discuss the VIF and whether they want to continue with that. Okay. And I will say that Russ and I talked about this item this afternoon, and back when we did the master fee or the fee study, excuse me, on residential service, we did take a look at how rates would be impacted if we didn't have the VIF. And so Russ is going to go back and pull that data, and we'll provide that to council.
Okay. Thank you. And I apologize, I was not at the last meeting, so that's why you're getting the 10 questions today. Thank you, staff, all of you, for your input.
Yeah. Any other questions from council? Very good.
Public comment.
Do we have any questions from the public?
And again, since you've started that clock, 60 seconds, and any member of the public who's interested in commenting on this item may call 559-637-4200, extension 290. And those who are listening over live stream will have a bit of silence as we wait for the delay.
Very good. There was no calls from the public. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinheiro?
Yes.
Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Paul. We move on to administrative business. Item 15. Adopt resolution number 2020-027, approving the subdivision map improvement agreement and final map for phase one of vesting tentative subdivision map 6229. Mr. Terry.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. The item before you tonight is a request from the applicant for vesting tentative subdivision map number 6229, also known as Rancho Vista. Tonight, they're requesting acceptance of the final map for phase one, which covers lots 1 through 96 of the total 186 lots approved within their subdivision map. And they're requesting to enter into a subdivision improvement agreement for the public improvements associated with that. The city engineer has determined substantial conformance to the approved tentative subdivision map, which was approved by the city council on March 12, 2019, in conjunction with support items associated with the project, including the environmental assessment, the annexation application, and the pre-zoning and zoning map changes. Allowance for subdivision improvement agreement lets the developer get started on the public improvements, which of course are bonded for surety, concurrent with the legal lot creation and then consequent individual home construction. Phase one of this action, I would like to notate, does not include anything associated with the lift station, the sewer lift station that would be required to service this project. That will be required to be added to the improvement agreement as an addendum before any of the items within phase one, of course, are finalized and any certificate of occupancy would be allowed, and including additional bonding for those said improvements. The reason why they are not included in here is because there are some new requirements that we are still working through with a consultant. There was actually an item on the consent agenda earlier today for the SCADA details that go along with this item. And as we're still working through those engineering details, we need to make sure that those items are understood and can be engineered and designed appropriately for the development. However, we did not want to hold up the movement forward of the development and the many activities that can take place with while that's still formulating and finally cooking there. So we wanted to make sure that council did understand that you should expect to see an item coming back with as an addendum for those specific activities that are going to be associated with the lift station for phase one of this map here. That, of course, would include the additional bonding and everything associated with those improvements as well. This also does not include any of the phase two items, which would also be coming to council at a later date when the developer is ready to move forward with phase two at that time. And that would be lots 97 through 186 of those approved by council earlier. The developer has already provided initiation documents for both the CFD and the LLMD, and all of their fees associated with this process up to date have been paid. With that, staff is recommending approval and acceptance of the items via resolution 2020-027. And I would like to note that the applicant, due to COVID, had indicated that they would be preferring to call in to this meeting tonight. So they should be on the line if council has any questions or any comment that they would like to make. And of course, this concludes staff's presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Rob.
The only thing I have is Westar is completely aware of what these changes are and that these will come in later.
That is correct.
Okay, as long as they're, been abreast of all this is what
yes,
my concern is.
Absolutely. Everything delivered to you in the staff report was done in conjunction with them before it was delivered to council to ensure that everybody was on the same page.
Good deal.
I see that we got an extra map thing. Is it because of the blue line?
No, that was actually just a printout of the PowerPoint. It was nothing more than just a visual. So you already have a copy of the final map within your packet.
Right.
That was just a printout of the PowerPoint.
Okay.
I just want to say I'm really excited that there's some great activity going on in town. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you were able to not put a stop or slow down on what's taking place, that's great. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
We need to
excited
keep
to
rolling,
help.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Another thing that I noticed is I usually take and try to figure out, okay, how much land is being used on each one of these houses. And there's about 4.7 homes per acre on this particular development. So just an FYI for planners and people that are looking at that. I know the state is trying to push us to do higher density, but I think that's about as far as I want to go as far as density for single family homes.
I believe we still have a caller online or waiting.
They will be calling.
Okay.
My concern is always the width and the length of each parcel. In other words, what is the width and the length of each one of these lots here?
Well, each...
The reason I'm asking is I can't see... It's so pretty.
Yeah, no, I totally understand the question. It is substantially conformant to the tentative map, of course, that council had the opportunity to see in early 2019. Mm-hmm. Every single lot, while you have... decent number of them near the middle of the development that have almost the exact same type of measurements. Of course, as you're going around corners, you're going to see some changes and whatnot. But I can tell you that the average size is right around the 6,000 square foot mark for the lot. And some do get up even close to 10,000, depending on where they happen to sit and if they have more in the rear than they do in the front facing. So, but the average is in between 6,000 and 7,000 square feet.
All right,
lots.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on Button Willow? Is that with that blue line? Is there going to be a wall there?
No.
What?
On Button Willow, where the lots are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6.
Yeah, I think they're.
Yeah, there should in the rear yard of those homes. Yes, there would be a block wall.
A wall.
So they won't be. So is the East Avenue Myra? Is that the only way to get out of there?
And then South Orange.
Yeah. South Orange, but South Orange is way over here.
Yeah, it is. It's a requirement that we do have is that you have to have 2 points of access, a minimum of 2 points, and so they do have those 2 points. But that is correct.
Well, but Evening Glow is going to open out to whatever the next subdivision will be up above there.
That's correct.
So that'll make three.
That's correct.
When we brought this, I think it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago?
Yeah, March of 2019.
Yeah, it was the full map that had phase one and phase two. And so you'd see the other exit on there.
I'm just curious, are they required to have solar, these homes that are building?
So the new building code requires all homes to be solar ready. Now every home has to be able to accept that. If the homeowner chooses to do that, the infrastructure has to be in place and ready for that home. Right now, solar is an optional package if someone wants to move on that or not. And that is universal for all single family building permits right now, all residential building permits, excuse me.
Thank you. Very good. Any more questions from council? We go to public. Does the public have any questions? Please call in.
All right. And again, the number 559-637-4200, extension 290. If there are any comments on this item, we will wait the required 60 seconds. So I thought we were going to have a call in on this item. So if, in fact, any members of the public, even the applicant, calls, we will still take the call even if we move on in case there's a glitch somewhere in our live stream that we're unaware of. But I think we're at a minute and a half now.
We are good.
Okay.
We are good. Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. So we have motion to approve.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Pignon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Item 16, approval of items pertaining to the community-based transitional housing program located at 1697 West Huntsman Avenue. You're on again.
Mayor, members of the council, I'm going to get this item started and then hand over the second half of the presentation to Paul here, as we have a few different items associated with the Faith House here. So, Item A is to approve and authorize the city manager to execute amendment number 1 to the license agreement that is currently with Hope Now Ministries for operation of the Faith House. And this is to clarify tenancy or length of stay. You might hear both of those terms utilized interchangeably to explain what it is. So the license agreement was approved by City Council on April 10th of 2018 for operation of the Faith House. Length of stay and tenancy was actually not detailed in the agreement itself, but it was discussed during the public hearings. And that consisted of an initial approval, which allowed for a 30-day stay and a one-time extension of 30 days and never more than 60 days to be able to stay there. So the operator has maintained conformance with those regulations up to this time, even though those details were not in the agreement. But as I said, they were absolutely discussed at the public meeting, and there was the very clear understanding that those were the parameters and they have operated within that. However, they did recently approach us, and they have asked if that could be extended because of the challenges that are due to processing the applicants, in particular with the third-party services that they utilize to help these people get back into homes, get back into jobs, and really get back onto their feet. Oftentimes, even 60 days is not enough to get through many of those application processes. And so that 30-day initial and the 30-day extension, they were even bumping up against a lot of challenges with that. So they have approached us and asked if we could consider and extending that out. And of course, we immediately went back and started looking at the agreement because we knew that those items had been discussed at the public meeting and found that in the agreement, there's not specific notation of that length of stay, even though everyone did have a very clear understanding that that was a very important item and was very actively talked about. So what the operator was requesting was now for it to be an initial approval to allow for 60 days up front with two allowances for 60 days each allowance. So allowance to have two extensions, 60 days each, and never more than 180 days total within the facility. If council were to approve this, that language would then be added into the agreement as addendum 1, and that is going to first ensure proper notation of the timeline, the length of stay, or the tenancy within the agreement, and also allow for accommodation of those program needs as the operator has now had a couple of years under their belt to see how this is working and to approach the city with needed changes to ensure that their program is operating efficiently and in the manner needed. And even though it's the last item on this agenda one here, because it is still mine, I would like to say that this project has been determined to be exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, by general rule. And it is also categorically exempt as under three different categories that consist of items that are existing facilities, small conversions, or minor alterations. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand that it is exempt from CEQA. With that said, there's some additional items that they're looking to also take movement on for the Faith House and for their operations moving forward, and Paul is going to share those items with you.
So yes. While Paul comes up to talk about the solar system, which is item B and C, I do want to add in on the length of stay that we were, I'll say, concerned at first with veering from what we had agreed to. And then when they walked us through very specific examples of people, we got it. We understood why there were challenges. And a lot has to do with getting on lists for rentals when rentals open, along with there were some cases that were very specific legal things where people had asked for child custody and they needed to have a certain length of stay for the court document. So as they walked us through each individual one, we understood why they were asking for those additional time. And so what we thought would be a happy medium for us is if each individual case is documented with us when they have to extend out from the original 30 to 60 days. We don't want this to be a blanket provision that allows it. We want it to be on a case-by-case basis, and so we felt if they could document that with us to the extent that the law allows without violating any privacy, that at least they're aware how strict we want to be on this. Mm-hmm. So that is written into the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I concur with you, Nicole. I think that's really important because otherwise it's going to be easier to just limit the amount of people that we can serve because of the extensions.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that we've been very pleased with how we've seen them operate the house, how they've gotten people in and out of in and out of, how they've gotten people into jobs and into new housing. We've even seen two specific cases where they evicted tenants because they were either not abiding by the house rules or because they weren't getting their own selves together to do it. And so we've been pleased with what we've seen thus far. So, and I'm sorry, Paul's going to do solar?
Yep.
Now, I just have one question. Is there any question over the eviction when you have an extended stay of this nature? Because I don't know if this, does this fall under a different category? Because somebody could say, you've let me live here for 180 days, how can you kick me now?
I defer to Scott on that one, but my understanding of that would be that, that in line with the program, that there is no stipulation that allows them any type of squatter's rights or something of that nature, Scott?
And that's correct. It's basically a license agreement, so they have authorization, but it's not a true lease agreement or rental agreement that they're entering
that's
into.
That's what I was concerned about more than, is because if we start to have to go through a legal recourse to,
correct.
To remove somebody, so that's...
Yeah,
that's
a good question. Excellent question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other questions from council?
Yeah, thank you, Rob. So we definitely tag team on these items because they were pretty different in nature. This item also has to do with the Faith House, but in the operations. In our frequent meetings with the operator, Hope Now Ministries identified that the electricity costs of the home have been a major impediment to them being able to reduce their overall operating costs and be able to, you know, get themselves on the path to financial sustainability. They're spending between $7,000 and $8,000 annually. There's multiple AC units on the home. It is an older home, so it's not as efficient as, you know, anything built, I would say, in the last 30 to 40 years even. It's they've done about as much as they possibly can to reduce their utility usage, but still with that many people and that many different schedules happening at the home, especially in the summer months, they are spending between $7,000 and $8,000 annually. So they did ask about looking at putting solar on the property, and it was ideal to look at it because there is a very large open space just to the north of the home that is a dirt area right now. That's alongside the block light wall that was put up as part of this project. So they did solicit a proposal that looked pretty good. And given that we are a city, it is our practice to solicit several or multiple proposals from different companies to make sure that we are getting a good deal. And the proposal from Central Valley Energy Solutions was deemed to be the most advantageous and lowest cost to the city. And that's because of a option they have that the other two solar companies did not have, to enter into a power purchase agreement with a private investor that would essentially enable us to take advantage of the federal tax credit, which is 26% this year, to be able to buy that solar system for a much lower price point than the other two proposals. Because the other two proposals, the city would have been purchasing the system at its full face value. And because we're a city, we can't take advantage of the federal tax credit. So this here was seen as the best option because it brings down the price about $15,000 total. So it preserves the remaining grant funds to be used for some alternative purpose. So that kind of segues into the next, is that we are proposing to use a portion of the remaining transitional housing grant funds that are still held by the city. The operator has been paid their full amount, the 40% of the grant award, and the city has not spent its full 60% yet. So we felt that this was a good investment into the operation, into their overall business, and as well as the property would still be owned by the city, so it would be an asset that would be producing power for the next 20 to 25 years. The way the power purchase agreement works is it's a much shorter time frame than the current power purchase agreement that we have at the wastewater treatment plant, the community center, and City Hall solar systems. That's a 25-year power purchase agreement. This one would only be 7 years. So essentially, it would just be long enough for the private investor to get the tax credit and to get the depreciation on the system on their own taxes. And then right at the earliest possible moment, at the end of year seven, they will automatically transfer ownership to the city. So there's some benefits to the city the first 7 years in that we're not responsible for any of the maintenance. If there's an issue, if it breaks, it's up to the owner of the system to fix the system. The only thing we would be required in the first 7 years is to do the periodic cleaning of the panels, which gets into my next part of the project, is that we're proposing to ground mount them. It's a pretty significant size system, again, because of the size of the home and the age of the home. It's going to be about 18.6 kilowatt system, which is roughly double of what most of the residential applications are. But based on the power usage of the property, this was the right size. It's slightly oversized for the use of the, it's about 114%, so it provides some buffer for the future if they get more short-term residents and that sort of thing. So this should allow Hope Now Ministries to reduce their overall budget by about $7,000 to $8,000 a year. So the panels should cover most of their utilities needs, if not all. The way it works is if they do use more power than the panels are generating, they would be Hope Now Ministries would be responsible for paying PG&E for the difference. Mm-hmm. But still, it'll be pennies on the dollar compared to what they're spending right now. So we would respectfully ask the council to approve the power purchase agreement, to authorize the city manager to execute the power purchase agreement with a company called HDM Capital LLC for the purchase and installation of an 18.6 kilowatt solar system, and also to adopt a corresponding resolution that would allow us to use a portion of the remaining grant funds to fully purchase and install this system.
And before a vote, I do, just for absolute full transparency on this, there is an employee of ours who is involved in this solar company, and I approached that employee to see if we could get a quote because we were struggling so much in getting quotes from solar companies. So he was not approaching us trying to make a buck off the city. I actually approached him to find out if we could get a good quote. And so again, we did get three quotes altogether. This was the best priced quote for the city. So just for full transparency, I wanted to let you know that I did approach this employee to ask them to assist us if they could.
Is there a battery involved with this system that we're talking about?
No, there's no battery.
Okay. Is there an option whether they could purchase one or?
There may be, and the system would be set up to where there's plenty of room. That is, the price of batteries goes down, they could look at retrofitting the system in the future. But right now, that technology is still a little bit expensive for the size of the system that is there.
You have a wattage on the panels they're using?
No.
Per panel, because that determines, obviously, the number of panels and wattage. Because they your panels now range anywhere from 100 watts to 415 watts per panel.
Okay. I do not have that information. I do know that it's total 18.6 kilowatt system, and it's going to take up a nice chunk of the area. Part of the project budget, if you notice, and I don't want to get too far off your question, is to install a fence around it to keep kids, if a ball rolls over there, to keep them out of the – that's why the – amount of the budget doesn't match the purchase.
The only reason I kind of bring it up, the newer model panels would probably be more consistent to work with the battery system later on if we decide to.
Okay. I'm going to ask that question. I have no idea.
Because those panels, they vary in wattage because of the number needed. So.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that, council member.
I didn't see, that's what I kept was looking for. I couldn't find a actual right up by the company in here.
Okay. I will find out.
Another question I had on page 23 of this report, it talks about filing a UCC-1, and I'm wondering if because you were describing the first through 7 years, it's going to be their equipment, but it's on our property?
Correct. So they would own the system for the first 7 years. So essentially we are just leasing the power that we're buying from them.
Just make sure they release that lien or that UCC at the end of that period then.
Okay.
So you don't have something against the property.
Sounds good. Thank you, council member.
We have questions from the council? Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Council member Fast?
Yes.
Council member Beck?
Yes.
Council member Bettencourt?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't go to
public. I apologize. We needed to have a public comment.
Oh, okay. Forgive me for that. That's my fault.
Yep.
Any questions from the public? It is now time when you can call in.
All right. Again, the number 559-637-4200, extension 290, and we will allow a 60-second clock to run.
Thank you. Very good. So we had questions from council? Do we have a move?
We have a first and a second. Mm-hmm. First is council member Fast?
Yes.
Council member Beck?
Yes.
Council member Bettencourt?
Yes.
Council member Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Excuse me. If I could add to the discussion, I just heard back that the wattage of each panel is 310 watts.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, only you understand that, right? Yeah.
Very good. We move on to council reports. Council member Solino,
I have none, sir.
Council member Bettencourt?
I enjoyed the senior letter because it gave a lot of information for the seniors. Your letter was very nice.
Thank you.
It was very nice to be in there, yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Wanted to know about the school. They're having their school board meeting tonight. So is that when they're going to decide then the school's being...
Superintendent Campbell today said that probably they won't release anything or make a final decision until the 28th.
Until the 28th?
Yes. Our strong indication is that they're not going to reopen mm-hmm. schools, though. We joke that he tipped his hand by starting the construction on North Avenue and tearing it up so much.
I was going to say, I know it. So what is going to happen there?
That is going to be a new drop-off and pickup area so that we don't have the traffic nightmare that we have on North Avenue right now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. And is there any more... patients or with the virus that we know here in Newton?
As of today, we are standing solid at 7. We've been at 7 for roughly a week, so they're not
good.
Going up as opposed to, like, little old Fireball went from 12 to 17. Mm-hmm. So we're doing good. We're
good.
Still doing good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. City manager, we just got word today, 6. That 7th one was actually it was showing up as a Reedley address. It's not a Reedley address. So, press 6.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
There you go. And I'll give a little bit of an update when we get to me on the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Council member Beck? I'm sorry.
No, I don't have any. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pro Tem Fast.
Well, all my meetings were canceled except for in March. I do have a meeting that's going to be a Zoom meeting tomorrow, a water meeting that's going to be interesting to see how that all goes. I listened to the governor's notes today on the COVID-19 and kind of his response of how this thing is going to start to open up and at what point. And I'm going to give this to Nicole. She probably has these notes anyway, but there's six indicators that they're waiting to see to get some results on before they start opening up the state of California. So I'm very concerned for the economic side of our city. I walk downtown almost every day, and it's very sad, except for the few restaurants that are open. And we're trying to support them as much as we can. But I did have one good thing happen this week. I had my son had a new baby. I have a new little granddaughter on Easter Sunday, so it was kind of an Easter egg special.
Yeah.
She wasn't supposed to come yet. So that's all I have.
Thank you. I have nothing. Nicole, you have any
reports? Yeah, let me go ahead and give an update. And we are participating in those daily governor briefings. And I have to say we did hear today about his 6-point recovery and when they'll open up. And we don't envision that's going to be anytime soon, unfortunately. However, what we the good news that I can give you. So the CEOs in Reedley, as you know, we meet once a month, usually over lunch. Today it was over a Zoom call. That's the hospital CEO, the superintendent of schools, Emmanuel superintendent, Chamber of Commerce, all the executives in Reedley. So today I wanted to give you some updates from them. The hospital is doing very well. They thanked the city for pulling together sanitation supplies when they were first in need. The school district supplied them with hundreds of N95 masks when they were in need. I don't know why the school district had them, but they did. So the hospital was so thrilled at the coordination that's been here. They're very confident in their sanitation and in the process that they have for COVID patients. They now have one of the, I think it's called an Abbott machine, that allows results within 8 minutes as to whether or not somebody has the COVID virus or not.
That was going to be a question of mine.
Yep. And so anybody that they diagnose who's in really bad shape gets sent off to Hanford. They do not stay in the Reedley Hospital. And so they're very confident in their processes, and they're doing very well right now. All elective procedures have been canceled, as you can imagine. And so things are good. Still a lot of babies being born, she said. So we're adding to our population numbers daily, which is great. Great. So from the hospital perspective, things are great. The chamber chimed in that they are calling all of the businesses in Reedley. It's slow going because we have a lot of businesses. And they were thrilled to say that so far the businesses they contacted, not a single one said that they intend to close long term. So they're going to make it from the ones that they've called, and they intend to call all the businesses. I don't expect that that's going to be the case for 100% of our businesses, but it's nice to know the majority that they've called so far. While it's rough, they are going to make it through. So I have some good hopes for Reedley. The school district talked a little bit about whether or not they will reopen. And so that's going to be kind of a waiting game to see what the school board does. But right now they do have online learning, robust online learning that they've been doing with children. They've been giving out laptops to all families and have been opening up Wi-Fi hotspots around the community, including we have a Wi-Fi hotspot at the community center that we've let them know about, so they can get that out to families as well. So from the school district perspective, things are good as well. State Center Community College, or rather Reedley College, State Center received $2 million in CARES funding. That was the relief package. State Center will distribute that $2 million directly to students, meaning students will get cash in hand. They're trying to determine how to do that, because right now, if they were to simply distribute that equally to all their students, it would be only a couple hundred dollars per student. So they want to make the most impact. So for instance, students who are carrying heavy loads of classes and high financial aid need, there are foster students, homeless students, et cetera. So they're trying to figure out how to distribute this $2 million, but it is for direct student aid. So that will impact those in Reedley who are going to Reedley College, which is great. They do have a few programs that are back in action because they require face-to-face interaction, and that is the Wildland Fire Academy. So they had authorization to restart that, so students are showing up for that, as well as the aviation maintenance is back up and running. Those are things you cannot do online. And the FAA would not authorize online for aviation maintenance and for flying. So those are the only programs right now at the school that are back up and running at Reedley College. Everything else is online or has been canceled. Reedley College did also say they've distributed 1,000 laptops out to students and have opened up Wi-Fi hotspots all around their parking lots so students can come in if they don't have access to Wi-Fi. So Emmanuel mentioned that they are trying to do a robust online education as well. And it sounds like the school district and Emmanuel and others are looking at potentially doing a live graduation, so not foregoing the graduations, which I think is really important for seniors. So we'll hear more about that, I'm sure, from those organizations. So overall, I hope you get the sense that things are hopeful in Reedley. And I'm so impressed with this community because not every community can say that. And things are going well. A lot of support for the restaurants. We have companies like BW Systems that are bringing in meals for their employees, so hundreds of meals for their employees, trying to circle around and utilize every restaurant in Reedley to do that. Our own council member Fast and her husband provided meals for our police department as a thank you, and so saw that come through, and that was just lovely. So there's a lot of good things happening in this community, and I hope you get a sense of hope for that. Along the lines of sense of hope, the Sierra Kings Hospital District Board did hire a new CEO. So as you know, the hospital leases their hospital to Adventist, but the board itself is still in existence, has been. They bring in a lot of money through the lease with Adventist, and they are transitioning their operations to more of a grant-making agency. So the money they get from Adventist for lease, they want to turn around and provide that back to our communities through grants. They know they needed somebody with some skill and knowledge to do that, so they've hired a woman named Chinyara, and I know I am massacring her name, and I apologize for that. She started the very day that the shutdown happened, and so unfortunately I've not met her face-to-face. We've only done phone conversation. But we do intend to bring her to the council either the last meeting in April or the first meeting in May and introduce her and have her talk a little bit about the Sierra Kings Hospital Board. So some good stuff happening. Also good stuff in Reedley, just an abbreviated version. Crime rates are down, unfortunately, all except domestic violence, which we did expect would have an uptick. That has decreased slightly this week, so that's a good sign. But overall, crime rates have gone down some because of the shelter-in-place order. So
I have a question on that. Mm-hmm. So I understood that the jail is letting them go when they get. So why are you even booking?
Well, so the courts have said those with 30 days and up to, I think, 45 days left on their sentences can be released early, depending on the type of crime that they were in for. So it's not that they're just letting everybody out. I know the sheriff did distribute some information and has held some press conferences and such. I think it seems like her biggest concern right now is actually the $0 bail that has been instituted. Mm-hmm. So except for the most heinous of crimes, $0 bail means the courts don't want these folks going into the jail system, so they get arraigned and then sent back home or to wherever unless they have been accused of the most heinous. That's very concerning to our sheriff, mm-hmm. which if it's concerning to our sheriff, it's concerning to me. Mm-hmm. So we are watching this. I know the chief has been in direct contact because he's keeping me in the loop. So we're trying to keep ourselves proactive and ahead of this so that when the news gets out to criminals, hey, you know, you get a slap on the wrist and you get let back out, we don't want to see that impacting our crime rates here in Reedley.
I think the paper said there was over 400 that were released.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Quite a few. Yes. And I understand the intent behind that. They don't want mm-hmm. to have people going into the jails and infecting the jail population. Mm-hmm. The sheriff very proudly stated as of this point, there are no COVID infections in a jail. So they do want to keep it that way. Her comments out to the public were that she's just not sure that the $0 bail was the right way to do it. So we're going to stick on top of that. And we do have one case for sure I know in Reedley of an early release. You can bet all our officers know who that is and where that person lives. So we're keeping our eyes peeled. Do any of the directors have any updates? All right, lots of good stuff going on. We are full steam ahead with everything we do, regardless of the shutdown and the shelter in place. You may notice that you don't see all the staff around, but between Rob's technical expertise and Paul's technical expertise, we've got a lot of people set up at home with access to files and systems. So as many people as we can have working from home, that was the governor's order. We are. But we have almost every employee working. We only have a few that are off because of some childcare issues with the COVID situation. So I want you to be very proud of your city staff, from our solid waste workers to our sewer workers to our water workers. They are just working hard. They are putting the effort in, and it's just, it's wonderful. So,
that's great. Great job. Well, thank you all for your hard work. Keep it up. I know this will pass. We just need to hang in there and keep working together. It's a difficult time, but you know, Reedley always comes back even stronger than before. So thank you all for your hard work. Everyone have a good night. Let's continue to follow our direction and the guidance of what we need to do to make sure that this thing is won over. We don't want to ignore the importance of what we need to be doing. So thank you all. Have a good night. Be safe.
Thank you.
God bless us all. Meeting's adjourned.